Let's pray.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I believe all of you once been a young person, and I believe all of you have experienced at least one or two or both of your parents going away for work, for visiting, for far away. And I believe that each time they go, they will come and tell you, I'm going. And each time you will mourn and say, why is it that it's only you all the time going away? Now, that's the experience I had as a child. And mine possibly may be different from yours. Each time my dad goes away, he tells me to be in charge, to take responsibility at home, because he is coming back. So he expects some good news from me. And that gives me the motivation, the hope that if my dad goes away, I am the eldest son, I have responsibility, everything has to be fine at home. That is the hope that I have. Now, Paul's letter to Thessalonians is possibly doing something like that, because Paul spent only 3 Sundays, as we can see, in Thessalonica before he was thrown out. But the message that he taught gave the people in that area life. And he is now writing to them this intimate letter as he's talking to his children, encouraging them to stand firm in their work of faith, in their labor of love, in their steadfastness of hope, and saying, look, go on, because you have a mission to complete, the mission of God, to proclaim the good news of God. And he urges them to live that life worthy of God. And when God comes back, he will expect something good from them. And he also said, look, I really want to come back to you, but I can't. I'm in jail. But I am so encouraged and motivated hearing the report of Timothy that you guys are so strong in your faith and you are growing to maturity with your faith. And now he says, continue to live that life. Have that hope. Have that faith. Because it is that faith that gives you encouragement. It is that faith that gives you steadfastness in living your life pleasing to God. And be sustained by hope. The hope that Christ is going to come back very soon. And that hope should be where you draw your comfort, your encouragement. You build your faith on with all the sufferings you are going through. Because Christ is alive, is living and sitting at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven, and looking down to see if we are ready for him to come back. That hope in Christ makes the difference for us as Christians, the difference in way we live our life today because of that hope. Because that hope is based on Christ being dead, Christ being risen from the dead. That is the hope. So I want to focus on 3 simple R's this morning or this evening. Return, ready, and rejoice. As Paul reminds us and encourages us to stand firm in our hope that God has already promised for us in Jesus Christ. Return. I told you my story that my dad says, take care of my home. Be in charge because I am coming back. And Paul is saying that we should be encouraged that Christ is coming back. That should be our motivation. Not only Paul's word, Jesus himself said that I am coming back. He told his disciples in John 14 that in my Father's house there are plenty of things, plenty of rooms. And if I go and prepare those rooms, I will come back and receive you to myself. And on that ascension day, the disciples saw him being lifted up in the cloud. And I don't know how long they stood there, but I believe that they stood there long enough for two men coming in white robes, telling them, "You men of Galilee, why are you wasting time here looking at Christ going up? He is going to come the same way he has gone. So go back to your different places. Go and get ready. Go and get ready. And in the meantime, remember what Christ says. Go and make disciples, teaching them." And I believe we did. We have all this. Remember that? Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey the laws that I've taught you. And encourage one another with love and good works. And never, ever forget meeting together. Return our hope. The second word, ready. God expects us to be ready. But I know that being ready is the most difficult thing. But before you even get to be ready, you need, first of all, to be sober, don't you? If you are drunk, you can never get ready for work. But you need to be sober to wake up early in the morning. And being sober, I think, means this. Being alert to notice those things that other people don't notice. And for us Christians, being sober means we need to be observant, to seek those moments, to notice those things that people don't see. And then we seize the moment to act on it, to do something about it. The moment of making disciples, the moment of showing forgiveness, the moment of participating in compassionate work. And if we are ready with that, then we become ready. Now, ready has two meanings to me. The first meaning of being ready is to use the gifts and the skills that God has given us. Romans 12 talks about it. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it. Ephesians 4 talks about those gifts. It could be in administration. I have plenty of administration people here who can do their job very well. Possibly you will need to help Graham as well if you go to Tanzania. Or it can be that you are a teacher. There are a lot of places where teaching needs to be done. In Tanzania, possibly there. Or in any parts of the world. Or in our schools. Pastoral ministry. We are getting older and older. We need people to visit us sometimes. I need people to visit me sometimes. We have young families around, young parents around. We have people here who can help pastoral ministry. We have youth ministry. Our young people are sort of searching for somewhere to go, for some example, some models to focus on. They need some mentors. And we need, and you have those gifts and skills. Or even worship, singing, playing, instrument. Benny needs you. He wants you to come forward. That is your gift. And that is being part of being ready in God's ministry. Readiness also means dressing up. All of us have uniform, and I know many people hate uniform. But for each department, for each work, there is uniform. And for Christians, whether you like it or you don't, you must wear a uniform. It's a Christian uniform. It is not visible, but you must wear it. And you could be saying, "What is it, Herbert? What do you mean by that uniform?" I tell you what that uniform means. It means a fleece, soft, lovely,
cuddly and very warm. I feel okay.
And that is faith. You wear it very close to your skin. It keeps you warm. The material is breathable. And you feel good about it. Yeah, you don't only stay with that, though, because that is necessary. Because in cold, all of us wear fleeces. I think all of us possibly wear fleeces. I know the government is trying to say, if you can't pay your bill, you can wear a lot of fleeces. So that is your faith. And then you also need something else. Because the wind is so strong outside. So you need a jacket, a soft jacket. A jacket that can protect you from wind. Or can be reflective like mine here when I'm cycling. Now, with my fleece and with my jacket, I feel even warmer and strong against the wind. And why is this? This is love. Thick. Resilient. Love. You know the meaning of love? First Corinthians 13. Is strong. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is never jealous. It doesn't hold grudges. Now that is your thick skin. Because the world outside there is not, it's very jealous. And love holds you. But it's not your love though. It's the love of God that radiates in you. That gives you that thick skin to face the challenges outside. And of course, it depends on where you're working. You need to protect your head. For those of you who work in a building place or you cycle a lot, you know what I mean. And helmet. And this is your helmet, hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Paul talks about in Romans 12 that we need to renew our minds in order to be transformed into the way of God. And it starts by the mind. So you need to protect this because this hope is not based on speculation. It is confident expectation that tomorrow is Monday. Are you not confident that tomorrow is Monday? You are. And that hope of salvation is that we have that expectation that Christ is coming back soon. It can even be sooner. And this hope of Christ coming back very soon should set us ready to do the business of God using our skills that we have. That hope should enable us to talk to ourselves, to speak the word of salvation, to remind us of our salvation in God, to tell others about encouragement, about forgiveness, about compassion, to speak to their lives. It is that hope that should give us to be doers of our words, as James tells us in chapter 1, chapter 2. If we speak of forgiveness, we need to practice forgiveness. If we speak of encouragement, we need to practice encouragement. If we speak that Jesus loved us and forgave us, we need to imitate Jesus in doing so. Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 11 that imitate me. As I also imitate Christ. Action, words, and attitude. All this depends on our attitude. Our example that we set to the people outside, to one another. That we have positive attitude on life itself. That at the moment, yes, things are difficult. Life is not easy. There are questions that we cannot answer. But we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who have given us strength through the Holy Spirit. We are told, supposed to guide us, to lead us, to teach us, to help us discern and give us wisdom. And because of that hope, we can speak confidently that nothing will stop us from rejoicing the coming of Christ. Nothing. So we need to be optimistic. Our life should be half empty or a half full of a glass. Those who are optimistic will say half full. Those who are pessimistic will say half empty. But for Christians, we should say half full. Because the other half will be filled when Christ returns. And that's why we are hopeful. And that's why we rejoice. Yes, rejoicing. Not because of our circumstances in life, but because of our unchanging relationship with God. We rejoice because we live in Him. We rejoice because He's coming back soon. We rejoice because I believe we live our lives 360 degrees. Remember that? So we are doing something right, I believe. 360 degree. As we are being rooted, as we are being strengthened, as we are being built up with each other. We are strengthened because we have sound teaching. We are strengthened because we are practicing, our lives is being transformed. Transformed into Christ-likeness. Because our hearts is being changed. We are giving a heart of compassion, half of forgiveness, half of humility with one another. Yes. Return. Readiness. And rejoice. So I want to conclude with this. My brothers and sisters, Christ is coming back very soon. That hope should propel you to be ready. Ready of His coming. And at the same time should propel you to be rejoicing. Rejoicing that your relationship in Him is as strong as the love of God itself. And in the meantime, as Hebrews 3 tells us, stop being distracted. Concentrate on the work that God has given you, making disciples, using your skills, and at the same time encouraging one another every single day to rejoice, to be ready, because Christ is coming back soon. Amen.